CliffCentral.com. Live. Things are happening. Thursday. Almost the end of the week. Still have got the start of October underway. Oh, it's so beautiful. Driving in this morning, I looked up at the sky. The birds are flying around. They're all doing their thing, you know, migrating and roosting and waking up. And it's all exciting. I love it.
Doing what birds do, really, Gareth.
Yeah, I know, but it's nice to see them do it against a clear sky and wake up in the morning when it's not pitch dark. And, you know, you get to the studio in the morning and it's nice and it's bright.
Blinded by the light.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
All of those things.
Yes, let's start off with an email this morning. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Okay. This is from Leighton, who's messaged us before. He's very excited because Rick and Morty season 4 starts in November.
That's cartoons, right?
That's very good, though. You haven't seen Rick and Morty? Okay, well then don't say anything because you'll love it and you'll embarrass yourself if you say something about cartoons. Hey guys, haven't messaged in a while. Hope you bitches are good. I'm mailing as I'm listening to Tuesday's Part 1 podcast. On Monday, I caught up on some blind history, and I wanted to say how much I'm enjoying those. Gareth, you sounded a bit freaked out by Vlad the Impaler. It was awesome. I was obsessed with him when I was a kid. I know, super healthy reading for a 10-year-old. And it was great to revisit it. I'm looking forward to the rest of Season 2. On that note, someone sent us a drawing they did. I suppose they're a big fan of blind history, and this is the second episode that they've sent us a drawing of their whole summary of the episode.
Oh, yes.
Like study notes, but with pictures in it.
We've put one of them on our Instagram.
Yeah, there's another one. It's just come through about Vlad the Impaler. Anyway, in Tuesday's podcast, you mentioned the Kray twins. I'm not sure if you're aware, but there's a 2015 movie based on the twins called Legend, starring Tom Hardy as both twins. It's a really apparently brilliant movie. It's quite violent, being a gangster crime boss movie, but I'm a massive Tom Hardy fan, so I thoroughly enjoyed it. Might be worth a watch. So there's a recommendation from Leighton. As for the rest of the show, Sia is mostly still annoying.
Oh, thanks, Leighton.
Gugu is entertaining, but quite doff sometimes. I'm ecstatic that Pumi has moved from my beloved Thursdays. Mubs, I can't believe, is such an asshole for not coming in to give us a taste of her juice. Ass is fantastic, and nobody makes me laugh like Gord does, except for last week when he decided to defend that annoying, scolding Greta child, who should be thrown into the sea along with her parents.
Oh, that's a little extreme.
And then he says, cue the how dare you clip, so of course I'm going to do what I'm told.
How dare you!
That's right. You guys are awesome, still my favorite podcast. Keep up the good shit. Cheers, Leighton in Mountainton.
Oh. Well then, Leighton.
There's a lot to absorb here. Don't get defensive.
Say nothing at all.
I have nothing to say because I'm washed anew.
Yeah, Sia went. He was probably one of the closest people.
How did that go?
Cleansed by the royal rain.
How was it, Sia? Did you enjoy it? Did it live up to your expectations? Because I spoke to a few people afterwards, and they thought it wasn't as exciting as they'd expected. You loved it.
It was everything and then some. I wasn't disappointed because all of my boxes were ticked off.
Well, you were standing basically right in front of Megan when she was doing her speech.
Yes.
Saw that. You can go out to see his Instagram and you can see he's got pictures of like Megan right in front of him saying her speech.
Well, firstly, we love the UK team because they always have these fabulous parties and they always treat us well.
They do, you know. They actually put on a pretty good show. I mean, there were a lot of very cool people there, people I haven't seen for a long time.
It was great networking.
Yeah, there. I spent a bit of time with Nunu, who's the head of Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Facebook Africa.
Africa. I spent a bit of time with Zelda, Madiba's PA, and talked about her show, which is doing really well on CakeNet.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives in the Cape now, so I don't get to see her much. Former Minister Rolf Meyer, who's obviously Cyril Ramaphosa's friend, and the two of them talk all the time. So we're going to get him in here. and talk to him a little bit about what's going on at the moment. But, you know, I met also with people like Magda from Signia and Stephen Kosef from Investec, some really powerful people. Richard Wainwright, also from Investec. Mm-hmm. Really, really smart, powerful people. And, you know, I got talking to them about the state of South Africa and all the rest of it. I have to tell you, those people are not... Either they're not reading the crappy bullshit mainstream media, or they are speaking to higher authorities and they're getting their information from different sources. They're not depressed and negative. Obviously, a lot of these people have insulated themselves to some degree because they've made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But they also are the people who see the big picture sometimes. And, you know, if you read the paper every day and you read bad headlines, as we do from time to time in the Five Things, for example, you're bound to get a little bit mixed up and messed up, right?
Yeah.
And it's good to meet these people from time to time because they remind me that the big picture is still, you know, the world is a good place. We're living really well in 2019. And, of course, the economy isn't what it could be, but that the signs are there that there's a recovery on the way, that Magda was complaining about how there are no prosecutions, which is something we've brought up many times, and no doubt it'll come up on the Burning Platform today. But by and large, these people are... They're entrenched in South Africa. They all have business interests here. They want those business interests to continue to be successful and to grow.
Right.
And as a result, they're putting in more than their weight in kind of trying to keep the country's head above water, and sometimes even better. So I take their word seriously. I consider that those people have more skin in the game than most of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they lose if we don't win as a country is enormous. And I think we've got to bear in mind that the mainstream media's job is to sell us bad news. That's what they exist for.
And it actually, I walked out of there yesterday feeling more energized to do more and work some more and work harder, because there are so many people who are doing that and who are just making it happen and who are not giving up. I find myself spending a lot of time at the party yesterday with these two fabulous ladies, and I mean fabulous because they are the typical ladies who lunch. They had these big over the top hats.
I saw you with them.
I kept bumping into them every now and then when I was trying to talk to them, but we just had met as we were walking in, and the one is an infertility doctor, and she's a specialist in that way, and she works with a lot of couples and making that happen, and, you know, couples who want to conceive. And the other's an entrepreneur as well and involved in many community driven companies. And there was no energy of, oh well, okay, well, the new dawn is over. Oh well, well, we don't know what's going to happen with the country. No, people were making things happen. I loved it.
So wait, I'm trying to understand. Was this like a networking shindig that you guys went to yesterday?
It sort of was, and this is the point with these parties, is that you don't really. I mean, you don't go to meet Harry and Meghan because you don't often get to.
You know,
there are about 300 people there. It was a big deal, and you first of all can't park there because there's too many cars and it's a little road. I mean, it's the...
Where was it?
It's the Trade Commissioner's house, which is here in Hyde Park. And then you park down the road, and then there's shuttles that take you there. And, you know, you have to sign in, and then they check you at security. And
yeah,
you get
that's
through.
A little intense.
Not really. I didn't think it was too bad. And then, you know, you walk through, and you really have a lot of time to have interesting conversations with people who otherwise you wouldn't see. And if you did see them, it would be in a hurry.
So clearly security was loosening up as the day went, because I was one of the first people lining up. Mm-hmm. And we got this massive security rundown. Put your phones away. You're not allowed to take any photos and any footage of any kind inside. And there were, you know, some ladies and me as well, while we were queuing up outside, wanted to take some photos. Like, we were held down by security saying, no, you cannot even take photos of the streets. And I thought, what is going on here? You've just ruined my whole Instagram plan. But once we were inside, I thought everyone loosened up, because it was all based in the garden, and there were cocktail tables set, and everyone was mingling around. And as the festivities went underway, then we all went into a marquee where a stage was set up. There was an orchestra playing. Majorzi, the singer, performed there as well. And that's when the Trade Commissioner said a few words and then introduced Prince Harry and the Duchess Meghan to say a few words as well. But after their speech of a couple of minutes, they rightfully did say that they were tired. Harry
looked exhausted.
Properly washed over.
All the poor kids he has to meet. And
he had a glaze.
Imagine how tired those poor kids are.
Jeez, damn it.
Prince Harry had a proper glaze over him.
Man,
he even admitted, he said, look, I know that you don't want me rambling on and stopping you guys from partying after this. And they said their thing, and they were whisked away because they actually had to meet the president before they flew out.
Right. Okay. Mm.
So they still had a bit to do afterwards, but I wasn't complaining because, you know, we got our glimpse and we also got to network. So
you got a glimpse of Meghan. You didn't really get to meet her.
Mm. I know I just sound like a crazed fan, but after yesterday, I have deeper empathy for them.
Hmm. What do you mean? Like, you think it's exhausting to be royal?
And this is why I just sound like a crazed fan, because of course I'm on their side. But, no, their team had set up what they called horseshoes within the garden. This was like horseshoes of people, easily like 6 to 8 people in each horseshoe formation. And I'll say there were like probably 7 of these horseshoe formations all over the garden. And the couple had to go around and talk to all of these people. Mm-hmm. And dare they not match the expectation of what they should be? Mm-hmm. Well, Prince Harry came and he didn't ask about my business, or he wasn't interested in my life. That would be a problem. So now they have to go around and they have to smile. And how exciting that you have a community outreach program where you teach kids how to write in calligraphy. You know,
look,
it's a lot.
I get it. I think it's nice to have people who their whole life is about shining the light on other good causes, because they get all this attention. I mean, there was a press contingent following them. You cannot believe.
Sure. They were hum in the room when they walked in, and there was just cameras, click,
and lights flashing the whole time. I mean, people are obsessed with the royal family, right? And they're obsessed with Meghan and Harry in particular. So if you have this amount of attention on you, and you can reflect it onto a couple of good causes, which they did. They mentioned a few, you know, really interesting South African designers and some charities and some women's groups that are doing interesting work. If you can do that, it's worth it. Then it's fine. Then you can say, you know, your Royal Highness, and you can make an effort to meet them and kind of dress up a little bit and all the rest of it, because you know that somehow along that stream somewhere,
someone comes out of it.
Yeah, someone's going to benefit. Mm. And of course, a lot of people go, oh, but it's just bullshit that we should have kings and queens in the 21st century, and it's nonsense, and calling people your Royal Highness. And I kind of get that. I mean, I'm sympathetic to that, because I do think all people should be the same. But another part of me kind of likes a bit of tradition and has an appreciation for history and, you know, these people, for good or for bad. And I mean, you know, Harry's really, if he weren't the Prince of Wales' son, you probably wouldn't notice him.
Yeah, redhead.
He's not. Well, it's not even his red hair, because he stands out a little bit, but he doesn't sound like his father or his grandfather. He sounds like a shopkeeper from Bermondsey.
How tall is he, Gareth?
He's
taller than you?
He's probably about the same height.
Then he's tall.
He's probably about the same height. But look, I mean, he's an impressive guy in that he's obviously been... He's grown up in this world of being in public the whole time, right? So he's been a public personality, and I don't mean the kind that you get on Instagram. I mean, like, he's a real public figure. Mm-hmm. And he's dealt with crowds, and he's dealt with media, and he knows how to speak in front of a crowd without notes. And he's just very... He's very good at doing what he's doing because that's how he was raised. That's just the environment he grew up in. But I don't know that there's nothing about any of the royals that makes them, in human terms, superior to the rest of us. It's just pure tradition that keeps
Meghan's skin probably makes her superior to all of us.
She's a good-looking woman.
is
the good-looking woman live.
Jesus. Gorgeous.
I'll tell you
my
what.
My goodness.
Like absolutely gorgeous.
When you see, I mean, those thin little ankles. Did you see those ankles?
So did you also notice the feet? I looked down at the feet because I was trying to get a
little
wait.
I was taking a glimpse of the toes because you know someone
are
can
they
be
pretty or not?
Gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Amazing.
Okay, good.
She's faultless.
She's got skinny little ankles. Let me tell you. I saw pictures of her.
I mean, we tease her and say Meghan Markle from Suits and all the rest of it. Even on Suits, I thought she was hot. No,
yeah.
You know, then she gets into this royal thing and she's suddenly wearing tiaras and all the rest of it, and you kind of forget that she's actually a really hot piece of ass. So
she brought the spark.
But look, I mean, with the toe thing, sorry to sidetrack there, guys. I feel like females, you can't trust that because it's all fake now. Even the toes are fake, Gareth.
You can't fake a toe.
No, it's stick on. It's stick on.
Oh, come on.
You know those stick on nails?
Are you crazy? No, I'll tell you what. She's got whatever. I mean, you've seen what her father looks like. She didn't inherit the best genes in the world, but she turned out to be a pretty good genetic specimen herself. Her mother must have some real, you know, good stuff in her.
Mm.
I'll tell you what. Nice thing to do. I didn't. It didn't change my world and blow me away. I know Sia was very excited.
It did mine.
But we did what we got to do. And it was a fun thing to do, and I got to spend a lot of time with some very interesting people. So that was good enough for me.
Hmm.
All right. I do want to quickly tell you about something quite interesting.
Okay.
You know, a while ago, we had Sean Sanders on talking about Revix.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have invested with Revix, and Sean gave me a little update yesterday. There's some very exciting things going on. Now, cryptocurrencies have stabilized quite a lot this year. And I'm going to talk to him about this. But they're running a massive, bigger ticket free risk month. Do you remember they did this a while ago?
I remember that, yeah.
So if you're
sign up risk free.
That's right. Where if you lose money on your cryptocurrency investment, they will actually pay it back to you. Now, I took advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it went up, and then I made some money, and then it went down, and I lost some money, and they paid it back.
Oh.
So it's still sitting there in the account. I haven't reinvested it in crypto, but I will.
Yeah.
And he says that between 10,000 and 50,000 Rand, if you invest it now, they're going to do a risk-free month. So if you want to try that out for October, it might be worth checking out. He's on the line with me now. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. Yeah, very good. And yourself?
Awesome, man. Very, very good. So first of all, nice idea to do this again because I think a lot of people liked it last time. I can speak from experience that it worked out for me because even though the markets went down in terms of crypto, I got paid back by you and it's been sitting in the account. I've got to reinvest it at some point. What are the rules for this though, if people want to jump in for a month?
So it's exactly the same as last time. We are covering customers over the month of October,
mm-hmm.
and customers would simply need to, and this is new customers, unfortunately, they would need to sign up before the 4th of October. And over the rest of the month, so remaining 27 days, your investment would essentially be risk-free. That means if the market had to go down and your investments in our bundles had a decrease in value, we'll top you up at the end of the month. And if the market increases and your bundles do pretty well, you'll keep those returns. And at the end of the month, it's entirely up to you whether you want to continue investing with us or you want to withdraw your funds. There's no strings attached to that.
And is there a minimum amount and a maximum amount?
Yes, so the minimum amount is 10,000, which is slightly higher than the last time we did this, and the maximum is 50,000.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, slightly more than last time.
Now, is it fair to say, since we last spoke, that if we've learned anything from this year, it is that cryptocurrencies have been more or less a lot more stable than they've ever been, and I think there's been much, much less fluctuation in terms of the kinds of stability that people have been screaming about and saying, oh, well, cryptocurrencies are so unstable. Really, this year we have seen a lot more stability. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that is fair to say. I mean, if you look at the alternative coins, so everything that's not Bitcoin, you've seen stability improve tenfold. And, you know, that's to say, you know, they've come down a fair amount since the peaks of 2017, but there is stability there. And if you just look at Bitcoin, and I mean, what we're trying to do with Revix is we're saying, well, you know, people view cryptocurrencies over the short term as the speculative investment and as this highly volatile investment and this get-rich-quick scheme. And what we're trying to say is take a look over the longer term. Take a look, you know, even if you just look at Bitcoin alone, back in 2016, Bitcoin was trading at $610. And if you had invested in Bitcoin then, you would have got a return of 1,250% today. And if you look at our bundles performed even better than Bitcoin over that time period. And that's what you really need to be looking at. And it's the same as any other investment class out there. If you're investing in stocks, if you're trying to go in over a week or month or even a year, you could be exposed to a whole bunch of different risks, which, you know, over the longer term, they kind of get smoothed out. And that's what we're trying to get people to see with crypto.
Well, you've certainly done that, and I mean, well done on your first year of operations. I'm hoping that because there's still all this stuff going on with China and America and the trade war, that people are starting to look at alternative investments. I actually bumped into the new head of the JSE yesterday too, and you know, she's looking a little starry-eyed because she's just come into the job. And it's a tough business. It's a tough business trying to sell the JSE. You know, the stock market hasn't really performed very well, and people are looking for other places to grow their money.
Yeah, when we did that, the one show talking about how the Rand's performed over the last 6 and 10 years, I mean, if your wealth's decreasing on average between 5 and 7% a year on average, I mean, it's very hard to make an investment case to invest in South African-focused equities or property or even bonds. And you do need this kind of international asset class. And it's quite interesting as well. I mean, people have spoken about the correlation of cryptocurrency relative to, say, stocks. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I mean, over the last 60 days, look, the stock market took one of the worst beatings yesterday.
Yeah.
And the crypto market's up today. And last week, the stock market was doing fairly well. And when I say the stock market, I'm talking about the JSE and naturally the S&P 500. And the stock markets are doing really well, and crypto is pulling back. So this correlation, potentially even a negative correlation to the stock markets, is pretty attractive as well.
Yeah, it's terrific. Well, congratulations, and thanks for that offer, because anyone who hasn't already tried out your various bundles is now able to do so with no risk attached for the month of October. If you want to find out more, go to revx.com.
Thanks, Gareth.
Good stuff. Thanks, Sean. There we go. You want to find out more, just go to revx.com. And speaking of investments, you know, we'll be checking in for the last time this morning with the guys from Troy Gold, because gold is one of the other things that people are looking at investing in. And I have, I'll tell you how much I have here.
Have you bought gold?
Yeah, I was messing around, and Dane, who we're going to talk to in a moment, sent me, I'll show you how much I got. It's so great. I got like 0.001
of a gold bar.
Yeah. But I mean, it's cool, right?
It's pretty cool, I think so. Get ownership.
Yeah, so here we go. Let me just tell you what I've got. I've got 0.008387 ounces.
What's it worth?
Worth 201 Rand.
Good.
But it's going up. Uh-huh. Look at the graph.
Yeah, I can see that.
So we'll talk to Dane about that just now. All right. And then one other quick update before we get into the five things. You may also remember we spoke to the guys at First Pathways a while ago. You know, a lot of people are thinking about either emigrating or about moving their businesses overseas. And you may remember that we spoke to a number of people from First Pathways not so long ago, including Dan Wickland. And you can go and look up that podcast if you don't remember it, because it's on the main page on cliffcentral.com. In fact, it's not on the main page. It's just under the First Pathway link. You can go to cliffcentral.com. It's also under Podvatorials on the menu under the GCS. So you can find it there. The reason I'm mentioning this is because the amount, the $500,000 that you would have needed goes up on the 21st of November to $900,000. So if you don't do it this month, it's almost going to double in terms of the cost for you to get involved with these guys and to essentially move your family across. So if you are interested in doing this, it might be worth, you know, getting hold of them. We would love to, you know, give you more information, but it's all there in the podcast, and you can always contact them. The information is available on cliffcentral.com. That's the EB-5 visa program, which we spoke about with First Pathways not so long ago. You remember it, yeah?
Uh-huh. It was a great conversation.
Yes. So go and take a look. We're trying to look after you. We're trying to look after your money, and we're trying to find ways to keep you and your money in the best possible health. International global citizens, where you can move around and your money can move around and you're not beholden to government vagaries and other such nonsense. So there's stuff to think about. Do you want to do the five things this morning?
Yeah, boy.
All right, let's take a look at what the most important news is this morning. First of all, there is a 10-fold surge in South African teens being treated for HIV. We've had we've had an amazing success rate in curbing HIV transmission in South Africa. We've obviously rolled out ARVs across much of the country. There's been a lot of good news with respect to HIV, but apparently the number of young people in South Africa who are receiving treatment for HIV has increased tenfold within the last decade. Now, that's scary.
That means there's more.
Well, it just means, it means that people haven't really changed their behavior and that a lot of people are living with HIV at the moment.
And it's teens, Gary.
Yeah, you got to be very careful.
Jesus.
Got to be very, very careful. South Africa has the largest number of HIV-positive people in the world, around 7.2 million people carrying the virus, which causes AIDS. More people have HIV in South Africa than pay income tax. Just think about that for a second. Okay, that's not a good statistic.
No.
Researchers studied more than 700,000 young people who are receiving treatment for the infection and found 10 times the number of adolescents between 15 and 19 are being treated compared with the year 2010. Authors of the study, published in the Lancet HIV journal, attributed the rise partly to the success of AIDS prevention programs that result in better detection and treatment rates. However, they found that fewer than 50% of young South Africans who present for HIV care go on to initiate antiretroviral therapy, which can prevent transmission and which stops a patient from developing full-on AIDS.
See, I think then it becomes a stigma thing of, okay, now you know your status, but I have to go to the clinic and get my medication, and now the clinic staff might know, and what if word gets out? Meanwhile, you're essentially just shooting yourself in the foot.
This is not good news.
Yeah.
All right, in other news, two SARS officials have agreed to step down. Well, this is probably good news because they're probably rotten people. Two SARS officials implicated in the Nugent inquiry have agreed to leave the revenue collector with immediate effect, which means they've probably got a good case against them and these guys are saving their skins. SARS says it will proceed with further action. Oh, it won't proceed. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, lucky them.
Yeah, by the way, the one of them is, do you remember Makeke Mokwane, the woman, Mamate Makeke Mokwane? She was the one who said, please protect me from yourself.
Oh.
Do you remember? That,
sorry, I'm
that
not
real,
just stunned by her name.
Yeah, her name is a bit funny. Yeah,
yeah. Mamate Makeke Mokwane.
So it's, let me translate that.
Please do.
I know what Makeke is.
Yeah, that's why.
It's spit. And then Keke, and then what's the last one?
Mokwane.
No, that's
Keke's
normal.
Cake.
Yeah.
Cakes.
Spit, cake, yeah. Mokwane.
Well, she's a moron. Do you remember her?
I don't remember.
Please protect me from myself.
Yes, the SARS woman who was talking about IT. You know? Jesus, she was useless.
Why? Why does she need to be protected from herself?
That's what she was asking for the journal, because she's an idiot.
Wait, was she saying protect me from myself or from yourself?
No, protect me from yourself to the journalist. Don't you remember?
So stupid.
This is this woman. Oh, come on, Sia. You don't remember this woman? She's the one who's resigned from SARS now. She's the one who said this. Here we go. This is great. I mean, what an idiot. This is the head of IT at SARS, right?
Organizations evolve from time to time, and they consider, amongst others, insourcing, outsourcing,
you know,
centralization versus decentralization, and so on and so forth. And I can go on about the fact that outsourcing so far has been about cleaning services and security people, which are black people. I would want to insource those people at the moment because their children would benefit from a SARS bursary system.
But talking about the IT restructuring.
Ma'am, can you give me protection from yourself?
That was the one. What a genius. So she's out. She's decided to leave.
My cake.
What a moron. Really.
What I love is she threw any sort of generic statement she could in there to avoid actually saying things. No. You know? And so on and so forth. And I could go on. No, you couldn't go on.
It's not even that she's trying to avoid saying the wrong thing. She didn't have anything going.
Yeah, exactly.
She's just a moron. I don't know how anyone could ever employ that woman again. The fact that she thinks that the reason you employ people is so that their children can get bursaries. I mean, do me a favor, honey. That's not why you employ people. You're not going to be in business for very long if that's the case. And the other person who they've got rid of is someone called Luther Lebello, who was group executive for employment relations and was allegedly the right-hand man of then-commissioner Tom Moyane. He used taxpayers' money during the inquiry, which was not authorized by SARS. Mm. So I don't know that they should just let them go. I think almost it would be more sensible for them to actually prosecute in the case of the use of taxpayers' money by Lebello. So I don't know why they're letting them off scot-free, but it seems at this point that the prosecuting authority does nothing but sit around all day.
And so on and so forth.
And so on and so forth. And insource and outsource.
Insource.
And decentralization. Yes. And centralization.
And I could go on.
And
I could go on.
No, you could, yeah, but yeah. You're not going to, are you?
Because you got nothing.
R. Kelly will face an 18 May trial on charges that he recruited underage girls and women to have sex with him, isolating them and controlling what they ate and when they went to the bathroom.
What an ass.
What an absolute creep.
You see the thing.
Yeah. U.S. District Judge Ann Donnelly set the date for next year's trial, which has been agreed by prosecutors and Kelly's lawyers at a hearing in federal court in Brooklyn. The 52-year-old R&B singer, known for hits like I Believe I Can Fly and Bump and Grind, was arrested in Chicago in July on separate sets of charges. He has pleaded not guilty. He has denied allegations of abuse before the latest charges. In 2008, he was tried on child pornography charges and found not guilty. So here we go again with R. Kelly about to just horrify us with stories that I'm not sure we want to hear.
I feel like his trial is just dragging on and on.
Yeah. And then Peter Moyo, talking about things that are dragging on and on, Peter Moyo and Old Mutual just seems to be dragging on and on. Despite the High Court in Johannesburg ordering Moyo's reinstatement, he has been prevented from returning to work. He is seeking damages worth 250 million rand from Old Mutual. And you know what? From what we spoke about with Kais Tole last week, it sounds like they do owe him some money because they have treated him badly, and it appears that this fight between him and Trevor Manuel is all about ego, and it's all out of control. So let's see what happens there. But the company's arguing that it is appealing the judgment. Old Mutual's indicated it will defend the claim. Moyo's lawyer, Eric Mabuza, said Mr. Moyo issued a summons against Old Mutual, which was delivered last week on Friday. The type of relief that he seeks is permanent reinstatement. Alternatively, he seeks damages of 250 million rand for breach of contract and delictual damages. Wow, my lawyer Eric Mabuza has gone on to do good things, huh? His quantum has certainly gone up in the last couple of years. He was the lawyer who took up my case against Mnet. So let's see what happens. We won that one, so he may win this one as well. Dalim Pop, who's the counsel, he's busy. He was at he was at the State Capture Commission yesterday too. All right, last story you need to know about the SABC. Do you care? Anybody?
No.
Okay. But I'll try and throw this in and make it exciting for you because they've got a new COO.
Okay.
And it is not Claudie Motsweneng.
Good.
The SABC's new chief operations officer is Ian Plykies. Does anyone know who the hell that is?
Couldn't be bothered, guy.
No,
it doesn't. Please write that for myself.
All right, so he is apparently someone with 30 years of experience in various industries, including telecommunications, mining, banking, and the financial services sector. The corporation said he joins the SABC from the Bureau of Standards, where he is the chief digital officer. So let's hope we don't have to have journalists protecting him from himself.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're going to have a disaster on our hands. So those are the five things you need to know today, and I hope that's enough to keep you busy in terms of the news. We don't want to depress you with more than that. Now, it's time for us to check in for the last time with the guys from Troy Gold. I mentioned how excited I was that I've got 0.008. I mean, I'll put some in here. I mean, this is the whole reason we're doing this, right?
Hmm.
We're all trying to open our minds to putting our money in different and safer and more interesting places because, as I said to Sean Sanders just a minute ago, I saw the new boss, the JSE, yesterday. She's got a hell of a job on her hands trying to persuade people to invest in South African stocks. because it hasn't turned out so well for the last little bit. Currently, the price of gold, 22,877 rand, 77 an ounce.
An ounce.
So this is cool. Right, Dane Bastiat? This is very cool. I'm on the app right now. You can give me a chart going back up to 10 years. And if you look at that chart, you'll see a steady upward
incline,
which is fantastic. You don't see that on the JSE right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how are you guys?
Well, and you, Gareth. Thanks. Good. Thanks for that intro. Actually, it's quite fortuitous because yesterday the JSE was a bit of a bloodbath. I think it was down like 1.7% the LC, and gold actually performed its duty. It was up 2% the gold price, I think. So, that sort of negative correlation is what you... it's serving its purpose. So we're trying to make you a gold bug if you haven't noticed yet.
No. I'm very keen. I mean, I just spoke to Sean Sanders about cryptocurrencies and gold, and people are looking at alternative places to, first of all, safeguard the value of what they've already made and to grow that value, because that's essentially what should happen. If you've accumulated value and you've built something that's worthwhile, you should be able to leverage that to make even more money. That's the whole principle of a good free market capitalist economy. And if you can use your money to build other businesses, to invest in things that are growing, then obviously you're going to provide for the future, and you may just be able to make yourself quite wealthy. It seems like something that doesn't even bear saying, but for a lot of people this is quite basic, you know. Economics.
It should be quite intuitive, actually, that the store of that your money and the store of value should actually hold its value. And I think the reason why cryptocurrencies have become so popular is because of the failure in, you know, the financial system and the debasement of fiat currency. So the market has naturally tried to look for other solutions to this.
Isn't it weird that gold and cryptocurrency seem to negatively correlate with stocks and
traditional financial assets?
It's weird, right? Because you wouldn't have really thought that gold, which is the oldest store of value, and cryptocurrencies, which are the newest, would be bedfellows against the other instruments.
I think it's also the market trying to create alternatives for this demand. I mean, people, like you said, like Bass was saying, it's almost counterintuitive now that your savings should hold its value. But inflation is, I think we mentioned in one of the first episodes of you, where inflation is actually sort of that insidious hidden enemy for any investor. Mm-hmm. In SA, we have that, I think it's about a 6% long-term inflation average. So if you had 10,000 rand in 5 years' time, you know, it's halved that. In 10 years' time, you're at 30%. So you're fighting against the stream. And I think, crypto is exciting as a medium of exchange, but like you said, I think we're almost going back to the bare bones basics and saying that up until now, not a lot of people have owned gold or do own gold, but a lot of people are going to want to own gold, specifically with what's happening in traditional financial markets.
But while we're comparing the two, because they do bear some comparing, your app allows people to actually pay for things in gold, which is almost a bit of a cryptocurrency idea now. I mean, it used to be something that we used to actually have gold coins, and we used to use those back in ancient times. But the other similarity that I can divine from all of this is that what you can have fractional share ownership in gold, which is interesting. I mean, you can't really do that with a lot of other things, and you don't have to physically have it with you. Because, as you guys have explained before, you can have that stored off-site somewhere, but you can also have it if you want it. And you can use it like an instrument to make payments and all the rest of it, too.
I think the key thing is we're trying to create a gold ecosystem, very much like what Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are trying to do, that interoperability. I think that's huge for any medium of exchange. So firstly, it has to have the qualities to store your value, which gold does, and then you're trying to create an ecosystem to make that interchangeable. So I think our Troy Pay function is exactly that. We're logging into 5,000 merchants where you can actually use your gold. Awesome. You can send it to other people on the platform. So I think it's just the first step to try to make gold,
Gugu, do you want to be paid in gold this month?
Yeah, sure, you can do that.
Could be fun. The other thing they have in common, obviously, is this principle of scarcity. The fact that there is only so much gold on Earth. There are only so many bitcoins on Earth. Yeah. And that the whole reason that their value will eventually go up is because of scarcity, right? Makes sense.
Well, I guess in pure economic terms, it has to have some, any store of value has to have some kind, or any money has to have some kind of use in the marketplace before it becomes a medium of exchange.
And I think demand, that, yeah.
A demand. It's called, you know, if your listeners want to research it, it's called Gresham's Law. So I think that's Regression Theorem. I think that's where Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies do fail. They don't actually have a use in the marketplace like gold did originally, and then people want it for that use, and then they start exchanging it based on, you know, its other uses.
All right, let's do some practical stuff because this is the last time we're going to speak to you guys for a while. So getting started, you need to download the app, yep. I mean, which I did the other day. It's really easy to use. Are we only allowed to do this in South Africa? Is it restricted to specific country citizens? What are the rules around that?
Yeah. So at the moment, because of our platform is Krugerrand based, Krugerrands are legal tender in South Africa. And as such, you can't export legal title to Krugerrands, or we can't export Krugerrands. So at the moment, only South Africans are allowed to participate in the platform. However, we are about a month away from launching our international platform where anyone in the world can participate and buy gold, and that we are based in Singapore with, and we are partnered with the world's biggest refinery, Metalor, over there. So
very cool. All right. How do I actually buy and sell the gold?
Well, we've tried to make it very intuitive. So obviously we administer our lives with smartphones and interfaces. So
sure.
Just, you know, you to get started, you can obviously you can go to our website. There's top right button. There's a button on the top right of the screen called, you know, send the app to the phone, or you can just, you know, find it, download it. Once you're in, easy, quick registration process, and then in the footer of the app, we've got a buy and sell button. So this is 24/7 sort of
right.
Buy and sell liquidity. It's that easy. If you press buy, you can go through these steps. We offer different payment methods. So we've got EFT option, which has no fees. We've got a credit card, debit card option as well. So it's pretty much just follow the prompts. Click on the buy button and follow through.
And if you have X amount of money, spend X amount of money, but what would it cost me to have an actual Krugerrand coin right now?
I think the price of Krugerrand coin is about 24,500 rand.
Okay, so is it an ounce?
Per ounce, yes.
A troy ounce. All right, this is very good. What is Troy Pay? Is that the facility you were talking about just now where you have merchants who will...
Yes, at the moment the merchants aren't on board yet, so at the moment you can use Troy Pay to pay anyone on the platform in gold, so you can send gold to CEO or anyone.
That's
at zero calories. Pretty soon you will have access to merchants as well.
All right, is it regulated?
Yeah, so we are a registered Krugerrand dealer with a FIC, which is a division of the South African Reserve Bank. We're also a registered credit provider with the NCR and regulated with them. Although, as you know, the credit sort of functionality isn't out yet, but we're working on a few exciting deals with some financial institutions. So look out for that.
Yeah, and just in Singapore, we do have the precious metals
dealer license.
So that'll be for our live app, international app.
Well, this is excellent. I would advise anyone to just download the app and give it a look and then decide if it's something that appeals to you. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are looking for places to put their money and to play with their money. And gold is as good an investment now as it's ever been, and in some ways a lot better. So congrats to you guys on finding a way of marrying something that is so old and so established with something that's very high-tech, very modern, very thoughtful, very new. And I wish you both the best of luck. I hope it's going to be tremendously successful. And when you next come in here, you're covered in gold like Croesus.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Okay, Dane and Bastiat from Troy Gold. You can find out more by just downloading the app, or you can go to cliffcentral.com and listen to all the episodes from the beginning. It'll give you a very good idea of what's going on and how you can become an investor in gold. It's very, very cool. So we've got lots of things this morning for you to think about when it comes to your money, what you want to do, how you want to spread your risk across various things, how you want to become an international citizen who's immunized in some way from the ups and downs of governments. And we'll find out in the next hour about what's going on in the world in terms of the burning platform, current affairs, some of the big stories in South Africa, all of that and more on the way. CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.